I want to read a chapter from Mark's Gospel. I'm not going to read, well, I'll read most of the chapter. I'm not going to read all of it. I want to look at Mark chapter 5. There are three people we find in this chapter. The incidents that are recorded are also recorded in Luke and in Matthew's Gospel. Luke gives us a much more detailed view of the incident from the woman's point of view. Matthew tends to skip over the incident fairly quickly. And Mark gives us a wonderful insight into the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant of God. Let's just start reading from verse 1. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the land of the Gadareans. Just as Jesus was climbing from the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit ran out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the tombs and could not be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to control him. All day long and throughout the night he would wander among the tombs and in the hills, screaming and hitting himself with stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him. He ran to meet Jesus and fell down before him. He gave a terrible scream, shrieking, "Why are you bothering me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Don't torture me." Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Jesus asked, "What is your name?" And the spirit replied, "Legion, because there are many of us here inside this man." When the spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place, there happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the evil spirit begged. Jesus gave them permission, so the evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake where they were drowned. I want to, just for the sake of time, go to verse 16. Those who had seen what happened to the man and to the pigs told everyone about it, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and to leave them alone. Jesus got back into the boat. He said to the man who had been demon-possessed, "Go home to your friends and tell them what wonderful things the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." Down to verse 21. When Jesus went back across to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. A leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, came and fell down before him, pleading with him and to heal his little daughter. "She is about to die," he said in desperation. "Please come and place your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and the crowd thronged behind. There was a woman in the crowd who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors through the years and had spent everything she had to pay them, but she'd gotten no better. In fact, she was worse. She'd heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched the fringe of his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his clothing, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel that she'd been healed. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" His disciples said to him, "All this crowd is pressing around you. How can you ask such a question? Who touched you?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she'd done. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. You have been healed." While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from Jairus' home with the message, "Your daughter is dead." But Jesus ignored their comments and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just trust me." And Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter and James and John. Verse 39, he went inside and spoke to the people. "Why all this weeping and commotion?" he said. "The child isn't dead, she is only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but he told them all to go outside. Then he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. holding her hand, he said to her, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. Her parents were absolutely overwhelmed. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what had happened, and he told them to give her something to eat. Three people who had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of us who are the Lord's, Mark has wonderfully taken these incidences and given us a picture of the controller. The one who is in absolute control of everything. The Lord Jesus Christ, at the beginning of the chapter, the controller of the demons that possessed that poor man in the graves. A little later on in the chapter we have the Lord Jesus Christ as the controller of disease, the curer of disease, a woman who'd suffered for 12 years. And at the end of the chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only the controller but the conqueror of death itself. What a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ is contained in this chapter. We see in it the spectacular power of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see in it the secret power that is available to every one of us if we will but believe. And we have a wonderful illustration of that supreme power, His power over death itself. But let's look at some of these things that have happened to these people in this chapter. At the beginning we have a man who is in a very pitiful condition, a demon-possessed man. We don't see very much of that here in Australia, if at all. But you talk to those who have served the Lord in countries across the sea, particularly places like India. And I remember our late brother Arthur Flack coming to our place and telling us very vivid stories of men and women who were possessed by evil spirits. I don't claim to have ever seen anybody in Australia possessed by an evil spirit. I've seen the effects of their control by Satan, but I don't think I've ever seen anyone so controlled as this man was. A man who was chained, a man who was completely outcast from society, a man who had no control over his own life and his own body. But yet, as I think about that, I think of a man that I used to work with, a man who's now dead, a man who was controlled by alcohol, a man who sadly could not pass 1 hour of any day without a stiff alcoholic drink. You see, there are people in this city, there are people in this country in which we live who are controlled by powers that they have no power over at all. Wander into the streets of this city after 12 o'clock tonight. Yeah, even tonight, 10 o'clock perhaps. Wander through the centre of Brisbane and you'll see them hiding in the shadows, hiding under the benches. People whose lives are controlled by forces over which they have no control whatsoever. Drugs, alcohol, leads to criminal activity. You see, you and I sitting here in this very comfortable surroundings would look at this man as we would look at these people and say, yes, they're sinners. You know, we have a very interesting concept of what we believe sinners are. You know, it took me a long time as a youngster to realise that just because I wasn't I certainly wasn't an angel, I'll tell you that as a kid, I don't think any kid ever is, but I never did anything really bad. Not compared to some of the kids I went to school with. I remember the worst thing that a friend of mine ever did was when he turned 16. His mum and dad went away for a weekend and he decided he'd go out for a drive. Yes, at 16. He asked if we'd like to go. Fortunately, I had the common sense to say no. I think it may have been the fear of what my father would do if I joined him and he found out. Or perhaps it was God's intervention protecting me. Because you know what Brian Nichols did? He smashed his father's car. Oh, he wasn't injured badly. He got a busted leg and a broken shoulder. But you see, we'd look at them and I would say, as a youngster of 16, 17 years of age, dear, dear, I'm glad I'm not like him. I'm glad I don't do those things. And there may be lots of young people that we come across and we see them and we say they are exemplary. There may be lots of older people who have lived lives that are truly examples to those around us. But on the basis of the Word of God, it doesn't matter whether you're the world's greatest murderer, you're the world's biggest bank robber, you're the world's worst prisoner. God says all of us have sinned. It just so happens that in this poor man's circumstances, it was manifest in a way that was most dramatic. And so it was when the Lord Jesus Christ came onto the scene. There was a spectacular demonstration of the power of God to deliver from sin. What a spectacular change. And you know, some of us have conversions like that. Some of us can look back over a life that we're not pleased with, we're not happy about. But we can say, thanks be to God that there was a time when I came to realization that I needed to accept Jesus Christ. I had an encounter with God's Son. And it made a big difference in our life. When we lived up in Townsville, there was a young man who had had so many visits from the police. He wasn't I wouldn't call him an alcoholic as such, but if he had a few too many drinks, he became very abusive. And as is so often the case, he'd take it out on his lovely wife. The kids were in Sunday school, and every now and then we'd see them at the gospel meeting, and every now and then we'd see her coming by herself with the three children. And whenever she came in and she wouldn't remove her sunglasses, everybody knew that they'd had a rough night the night before at home. Our brother Peter Brandon visited Townsville in the mid-70s, I think it was, and had a series of gospel meetings. And somewhere along the line, Bill was invited to a gospel meeting. And that night, Bill was gloriously saved. What a change. What a change in a man who before, at the very least of provocations, would physically attack his wife. Fortunately, he never did anything with the kids. But he was a strong man. He was in the army. And he knew how to throw his weight around. 4 weeks later, we had a visit from the local constabulary. It was becoming so regular, every alternate weekend just about, they'd be called to Bill's home. And it hadn't happened. So they went round to visit just to see what was going on. And Bill said to them, he said, hey, if you want to know what's happened to me, he said, you go round and see those people around the road there, particularly on Sunday night, and you listen to what the preacher says, because he'll introduce you to someone who can make a big difference in your life. Bill was wondrously saved. His daughters were wondrously saved. They have a young son now, I believe. And they're going on well for the Lord. Spectacular change when that man came to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also have the story of a woman. A woman who knew there was something wrong. There was something wrong in her life. She tried to fix it up. It was a medical condition. But you know, my friend, every one of us has a condition that we can't do anything about. It's a condition called sin. Oh, we can't go to the doctors, we can't spend money as this woman had. But we can get worse and worse as we get older. But this woman had heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she'd said to herself in a private conversation she had with herself, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I know I can be healed. If only. Maybe there's someone here tonight. And on the outside you've lived a life which people would say is reasonable if not exemplary by today's standards. But deep within, every now and then regularly you get that sense that something's not right. You get that appreciation that those things that I do that I know are wrong, I'm unable to stop. You know, it happens with kids. It happens with adults. And oh, how many times I, as a child, like every child, I guess, has ever lived and been brought under the sound of the gospel. When you're caught doing something wrong, you'd say to Mum and Dad, I won't do it again. I won't do it again. And you really mean it. And you try so hard not to. But guess what? It happens again. That's sin. And you can't get rid of it. You can't do anything about it. Because you were born with it. It's part of your very being. It's part of your nature. But there is one person who can get rid of that sin. Just as this woman realized there was one person and one person only who could get rid of the hemorrhage, the issue of blood that she'd had for 12 years, that which had plagued her for so long, that at which she'd spent so much time and energy and money in trying to overcome, there was one person who could solve her dilemma, who could solve the problem. And she determined in herself that she was going to meet him. She just wanted a very quiet meeting. She just wanted a quiet meeting with the one who was going to cleanse her and make her well. You know, many of us came to know the Lord in the quietness of our own rooms, in the solitude of that silence that envelops each and every one of us in those hours before we lay down to go to sleep. Oh, not everyone who's come to the Lord has had a spectacular conversion as the man at the beginning of this chapter has. Not every one of us would have a life that would change in such a dramatic way as Bill's did. But we have a life that needs to be changed. And oh, my friend, if there's been time after time when you've gone home from meetings such as this and in the quietness and the solitude of your room you've thought a little of what you'd heard, that's the Spirit of God working within your heart and your soul. And my plea to you tonight is don't reject it anymore. Don't push it aside. Don't say, as so many people who are tormented in the fires of hell tonight have said before, there's always tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. But the Scriptures say now. Today is God's day of salvation. Not one of us here in this building tonight can guarantee that we'll see tomorrow's sunrise. The Lord may come. The Lord's plan for any one of us may be that we pass into eternity before this hour is out. If you, my friend, are being spoken to tonight by the Spirit of God, if you're hearing that small voice that says, you need to come. You need to act. You need to acknowledge your sinnership in the sight of God. You need to be able to say, Lord, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. Lord, I acknowledge the things that I've done in my life that are wrong. I've tried to do what I can and I failed. There is only one person, and that is the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who can cleanse me of this sin. I want to be rid of it. I want to know that my life is right. I want to know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then tonight, my friend, take that decision. Make that choice. Have that quiet conversation that this woman had and act upon it. You see, she would have never received the blessing that came if she'd simply sat in a room and said, well, yes, I believe he can do it. I'm sure he can do it. I know he could do it. And all I'd have to do is just get close enough to touch his gum. If that's all she ever did, she'd still have an issue of blood. She'd still have hemorrhage. She had to get up and she had to act. Our plea to you tonight, my friend, is don't put it off. Don't put it off. The last person that we find in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, is a little girl. A little girl that's used by God to demonstrate the supreme power of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. His power over death itself. And my friend, let me tell you this, if you've never come to the foot of the cross, if you've never by faith accepted what Jesus Christ did there on your behalf, then in the sight of God, you're just as this young girl was, and it doesn't matter whether you're 12 years old or younger or older, if you're still a sinner in God's sight, you're dead. You're dead. There is no life. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this room and in a very dramatic but not spectacular way. It was just Mum, Dad, three of his trusted disciples, the Lord and the little girl. And the little girl was raised from the dead by the touch of the Master's hand. Right where you're sitting tonight, my friend, you can pass from death to life. You can pass from a condition that says there is no hope to one that gives you a hope of an eternity in heaven with God, with our Lord Jesus Christ, with an inheritance that is incorruptible, as Paul says. What will the decision be? What tonight will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you continue to reject him? Will you continue to languish in your sin? Or will you by faith tonight come and acknowledge your sinnership in his sight? And trust in that blood that was shed at Calvary, the blood that is powerful to cleanse from every sin. The blood that can make your spirit, your soul, whole in the sight of God. And on the authority of the Word of God, we tell you, if you accept him, then you pass from death to life. Dead to sin and alive to God. That's what the Scriptures tell us. But the choice is yours. And you have to make it right now. Behold, now is the accepted time, says the Scriptures. Now is God's day of salvation. So what will your answer be? Are you prepared to come? Are you prepared to accept him as your own personal Saviour? Are you prepared to acknowledge your sinnership in his sight? If you are, and you accept him by faith tonight, then we tell you on nothing less than the authority of the Word of God, you'll walk out of this building rejoicing. You'll have a peace and a joy that human understanding just cannot comprehend. That burden of sin, that weight that is so crowded in upon your heart and your soul every day of your existence will be lifted. You'll know that the question of sin, of the punishment against sin, has been settled for you because it was settled at Calvary's cross when Jesus Christ, God's Son, became your sin. Think about that. He became that which was most abhorrent to his holiness. Your sin. My sin. And he bore in his own body the judgment that was rightfully owned by the sinner, by me, by you. Such is the message of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.